Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Homes.com is the only place where you can find specialized neighborhood guides with the in-depth insider info home shoppers want. Very in-depth info. Want to know if there's homes for sale in the area? We've got it. How long has a home been on the market? We'll know it. Average lot size? Uh-huh. Proximity to local parks? Of course. Insight into your neighbor's divorce? We're working on it. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hope you're having a great day. We certainly are, and there is so much going on in the world of sports. Mike and I talking about Kirk Cousins, who modified the final 2 years of his contract. Is he going to be back as a Falcon? We're going to talk to our buddy Joel Corey coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, capologist, to discuss the cap ramifications of this and, in his experience, how these things sometimes play out. But it gives the Falcons options. We also will continue our conversation about the head coach, general manager search, and the latest with Matt Ryan as to when he will interview for this new position for the Falcons, president of football ops. But right now, we got to talk some dogs. Connor Riley is here from Dog Nation, and Connor, the portal is wide open. Let's talk about, first and foremost, some dogs that have entered the portal. Any surprises whatsoever when you talk about the guys that are in the portal for the dogs right now?
So, to this point, there's nobody that's super surprising. I think Bo Kuehle entering the transfer portal is very interesting to Georgia fans because what Monroe Freeling and Ernest Green do at offensive tackle goes a long way in sort of shaping how that position looks next year. And if Kuehle thought he had a chance to play, that would seem to indicate that Freeling and Green might potentially be gone. But with Freeling entering the transfer portal, again, Freeling and Green have not announced anything, but with a guy like Bo Kuehle entering the transfer portal, that's at least somewhat notable, especially given what they're waiting on here at that offensive tackle position. Because I think now that Zachariah Branch has officially gone to the NFL draft, there is no more important decision to be made than what Monroe Freeling does. He's a guy who's seen as a fringe first-round tackle type, but I think he's someone who, with another year, could possibly work himself into the first rounder. So he's got a very big and important decision to make. And I think what we've seen in the transfer portal thus far influences that a little bit.
Connor, we didn't get a chance to talk to you. We worked Friday after the quarterfinal game, the loss to Ole Miss. You're in the tournament. You're up by nine. And I just felt they were unaggressive or not aggressive before the half. I thought of all the things. Now, Kirby has reached that rarefied air as, like, that elite coach, the best in the business. I thought he blew it. I thought Bobo blew it. I'm very disappointed because I don't think you get the – you don't get – everyone assumes they'll be back next year and they're building for the long haul. And I know you said you had some limitations you thought with the defense. It got better over the course of the year. Did Kirby blow it?
I put more of this game on Kirby Smart than I do Mike Bobo. We talked about this when I sat with you guys last Tuesday. I thought one of the bigger advantages Georgia had in this game was the coaching experience gap between Kirby Smart and Pete Golding. And Kirby Smart coached that game like it was his second career game. I think you're right in that the middle portion of that game, I thought Georgia was not aggressive enough. And then conversely, at the end of the game, I thought they were trying to make up for that, and they were being so aggressive that it actually worked against them a little bit there. The fourth down call, I didn't have an issue with them going for it. But run your best play in that situation and don't run the fake punch switcheroo, which you've worked earlier in the year, but that was when you had your starting center and Drew Bobo out there and not a backup. And then the third down play call, I get wanting to throw for the end zone. I get wanting to score there and go up 4 points. And down and distance and time have to matter into that. With Ole Miss having no timeouts and with their kicker being as good as he was, you have to take into consideration that if you don't get a touchdown there and you settle for a field goal, Ole Miss is going to have roughly 55 seconds to go down and take the game-winning field goal, which is exactly what they did. And look, Georgia didn't play its best. I give Ole Miss players, Trinidad, Chambliss, Keewon Lacy, a ton of credit. But Kirby Smart and with how aggressive he was at times in that game, I think really hurt Georgia. And that's a big reason why I'm not, and the Georgia team isn't in Phoenix today getting ready to play Miami in the Fiesta Bowl.
And just as a follow-up, because Crow and I went round and round about this with Mike Griffith the other day, they said they blew it. The ball's not supposed to be snapped. How does that happen?
And, you know, that's one of those things of if the center feels that someone has jumped off sides and see someone jump off sides. And look, Drew Bobo did that in the Tennessee game earlier this year where they were trying to draw Tennessee off sides, and he thought he got someone and snapped it. And that's an example of Tolliver's inexperience, I think, shining through there where he thought he had had somebody or he thought he had heard a call to snap it. And that's a call that Tolliver makes. And Tolliver wasn't supposed to make that call on that play.
Connor Riley, our guest, Zachariah Brand, C.J. Allen, Christian Miller, all declaring for the draft. Sometimes we go, maybe they should stay. Should all of these guys make, did they make the right decision?
I think they did. I think C.J. Allen is a first-round linebacker, and he's going to hear his name called on the first night of the NFL draft. Christian Miller already put off the NFL draft for a year, came back this year, got his degree from Georgia. He's a solid day two pick, maybe in the second round, maybe in the third round, depending on how he works out. Zach Branch did everything you wanted him to this season, and when you factor in the guaranteed money that even like second-round guys get, there's no way that Georgia was going to be able to pay Zachariah Branch what he would have made at the NFL level. You know, the number 34 pick in the NFL draft gets $10.5 million guaranteed dollars. Even for 1 year, while Georgia may be able to outpay that, at the wide receiver position, there's just no justification for it. And I think Zachariah Branch did everything you wanted him to this year out of the transfer portal and is going to be a top 50 overall player. And if he tests really well, could even be a first-round pick. So those three guys, no surprise that Georgia sees all three of those guys moving on to the next level.
So next year, you look at Georgia and you look at where the landscape of college football has gone. We've already said everybody is broken, it's busted, whatever. So is next year the year that Kirby gets together with more senior or upperclassmen? Because you know how it goes, Connor, the fan base turns. You know, they're living in back-to-back national championships. They'll be going on 3 years without one.
Yeah, Georgia hasn't won a playoff game since they beat TCU in the national championship game in 2022. And you see a program like Ole Miss get to the semifinals. You see a Miami. You see an Oregon get there. You got to wonder, why can't we get there? I have always held the belief that the 2026 team was going to be better positioned for success and better positioned to win a national championship than the 2025 team. We talked all season long, I think, about this team being a good team but not necessarily a championship-winning team. Now, the performances against Texas and Alabama maybe changed that a little bit, but ultimately this is where I think we all three of us talked over the season, probably where they would finish. They bring a lot of key pieces back. That front seven, which I think grew over the course of the season, is going to be one of the better ones in college football next season. They got to figure out the wide receiver position with what they're losing. Gunnar Stockton has to take steps forward. He's got to eliminate the bad plays. Like, we've clearly seen him do some good things and make some big-time throws. He's got to get rid of, you know, the uneasiness, the letting his eyes drop, the willingness to run a little bit. But if he changes that and removes some of the bad, he can be one of the better quarterbacks in all of college football. So I think things are set up next year for Georgia to make a run. And given the way we've seen things play out the last two seasons, there is going to be a little bit of a pressure on this team to win a playoff game and make a rather deep playoff run because they haven't the last 2 years.
Connor, what are the biggest areas for Kirby to address this offseason?
I think wide receiver first and foremost has to be something they look at. Yes, they like the young talent they have in that room. Georgia's losing six of their top seven pass catchers, and that's going to be hard to replace. And so they like the young talent they have in that room a lot, but I think ultimately that is a position they're looking at. They've already addressed the safety position in one way, adding Clemson transfer Khalil Barnes. You know, no one's going to have sour grapes for Georgia, but they're playing with their fourth-string safety out there in Zion Branch, in the fourth quarter and second half of that college football playoff game with some of the injuries that they were dealing with. So that's another position where I think you look for Georgia to hammer a little bit. And then if there's a quality offensive lineman or a defensive lineman that you can afford, that you can go after, that you think helps you, Georgia's going to do that. But I think wide receiver and safety are the two big needs that you see right now for this Georgia team.
Okay, because offensive line got some valuable reps, younger guys that are all sticking around. We know about Kirby's culture and the guys that buy into it. So when you compare it to other schools, man, I think Florida State lost 40 guys in the transfer portal this offseason. Hey, Connor, you got any feeling for the semifinal here at the Chick-fil-A? The Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl at Mercedes-Benz. Do you feel that in a rematch, Oregon gets Indiana?
I don't. I really like this Indiana team. Oregon, you give them credit for beating Texas Tech. That Texas Tech team just did not seem ready for the moment. This Indiana team, what they did and the way they dissected Alabama, I could not be more impressed with how they played. Look, obviously that's a flawed Alabama team. But there's just something about this Indiana team where they just play really good football. And, you know, they're not anything special athletically, but boy, do they know how to execute. Boy, do they know how to take away what you do best. And they put real pressure on you. And so, while, yes, we've seen rematches the second time around not go the way, you know, Georgia beats Alabama, Ole Miss finds a way to beat Georgia, and Oregon certainly has the talent to do it. I'm just really impressed with this Indiana team, and I think they're going to be the team that wins it all at the end of the season.
Tell us how good you think this Georgia basketball team is, man. They got a big one tonight against Florida. We were talking about it before you came on. 13-1, 1-0 in the SEC.
Yeah, no, it's been a great start to the program this year, especially you look at what they lost off of last year. And I think this Florida game tonight is going to be really telling for them. They find a way to win against Auburn in overtime on Saturday. Now, they tried their hardest to blow that game as well. But I think this Florida game, if they can find a way to go on the road and win in games, which is something they have not done under Mike White, that really takes this Georgia basketball team from one, okay, we think they're going to be able to get into the tournament if they manage their schedule, to, okay, you've beaten Auburn, you've beaten Florida, you've beaten two real talented SEC teams. That is something to seriously take note of. They are currently ranked 18th in the country right now in the most recent AP poll. And if they get a win against Florida and then they go on the road to South Carolina this weekend, that's about as great of a start as you can ask for the Georgia basketball program with what they've done this year.
And I know we were kind of critical down the stretch last year, losing some of those games the way they did. But so now, like, things are starting to roll. I mean, this is where it should be for Georgia. We've talked about this for years, all the local talent. So are you satisfied? Last year's, I wouldn't say choke jobs, but some of the games you should have won with Mike White aside, you think the program's where it should be?
I think so. And I think this is what you do when you bring in Mike White, who was not a super popular hire at the time that was made, but he has elevated the floor of the Georgia basketball program and gotten it to a point of consistency where they make the tournament last year. They're showing all the right signs that they're going to be a year in, year out team that, you know, I don't know if they make it every year, but they at least flirt with it, and they're not an abject disaster in conference play. So I think that's incredibly valuable for them. And if they can continue to win, you know, look, that's what Bruce Pearl did at Auburn. It's what Rick Barnes did at Tennessee. It was slow, incremental gains. And then by the time you get the talent and your culture right, then you're able to make the big leaps. And so Georgia in the process of doing that right now, but they've done everything you wanted to see them do. I think over exceeding expectations so far this season.
I agree. Connor Riley, tell the people where they can follow your stuff, man.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. Obviously disappointed the Georgia season is over, but there's still plenty of news about this program with the transfer portal and the NFL draft deadline next week.
By the way, is there any way to fix this portal? It's nuts.
No.
The simplest way, I think, is getting the season done before it opens. And Dan Lanning has made a proposal where the season ends on January 1st and the portal opens on January 2nd. That at least clears some of it up. But, like, Indiana was hosting 13 portal visitors this weekend, and they're getting ready to go play a college football playoff semifinal game.
Right.
It's just not ideal for anybody.
Yeah. No, and that's – who was it? Lewis Riddick was – other guys were talking about how to get the calendar right. But who are the adults in the room to do that?
Yeah, it's going to take a lot. Connor, thanks so much, man. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll talk next week.
Yep, thanks, guys.
All right, guys, coming up, is our job the most attractive of all the openings? You'll hear what Steve Weiss from NFL Network said about it next.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Homes.com, we do whatever it takes to get you the in-depth info on local schools you won't find anywhere else. Things like student-teacher ratio, test scores, and school programs. And sometimes that requires attending school recitals. So many recitals.
That's my son. Isn't he terrific?
Yeah, a real prodigy. Homes.com. Bingo. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
But Steve Weiss had to say, too, as far as how attractive he thinks this job is. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Want to remind you that we are your home, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, for live college football coverage. Get the day started Saturday, 8 a.m. It's brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. Visit WindowNation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all the big matchups Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And they're actually doing sort of a recap show this weekend with the games being Thursday and Friday. All right, Mike, I want to address some of these questions. These are three we got from yesterday's Behind the Curtain, and we do that every day around 11 o'clock, kind of give you a little preview. Sometimes we do stuff that we do on the show, sometimes we don't. But one of our listeners says, why do some fans say that the Falcons don't have a quarterback for 2026? He's trying to understand our meaning when we say we don't have one. Well, you have Kirk Cousins, who just restructured or at least, you know, modified his final 2 years of his contract. But, guys, he could be gone by March 13th, right? May not become official till June 1st. That's that June 1st designation. But then you'd have Michael Penix on the roster. Well, guess what? He's recovering from knee surgery.
Yeah.
So when we say this, Mike, that is where that stems from.
Yeah, and again, guys, we're going to talk to Joel Corey next hour. Capologist, former agent in the NFL, is dialed in and get his spidey sense on it. It means, is it a fait accompli that Kirk is done? Or is there a chance that he doesn't maybe get the looks he was thinking he was going to get from other teams and he comes back here because he does like living here? You did say he does have roots here, families here, et cetera. Did tell the media he wanted to, you know, to be here. So we'll see. I know that, you know, some folks out there definitively go, this means he's gone. All right. Penix Jr. Now, again, if he recovers, no one recovers like Adrian Peterson. Okay. That's not going to be ready. But maybe he'll be ready to go by Labor Day and then week one. We don't know. But I think they're being I think most conservative estimates are, especially with just, we're not orthopedist, his injury history. We don't expect Penix Jr. to be ready to go to start the season. Hope we're wrong. You know? But then, as we said earlier with Dave Archer, you may have a new regime that comes in, and Matt Ryan may have his own opinions about Michael Penix Jr. You know, Matt Ryan, the new GM, however this chain of command works, maybe they don't think Penix is a long-term answer.
Here's another question from one of our listeners who said, Dukes and Bill, why is Michael Penix Jr. being considered a miss if coaching was the issue this season? I would tell you this is the reason why. And I'm not saying he is a miss, but here's the perception. Can he play under center? When you look at him statistically and 1% of his snaps were under center, where Kirk Cousins comes in and takes 29 to 30% of his snaps under center, it makes you wonder whether or not, Mike, can he play under center? Now, at one point, and many of you may have missed it, Raheem said it this season, well, you know, Michael's more comfortable in the pistol, so we decided to allow him to be in the pistol. Okay, so...
You know, Kirk's comfortable up on the center, and that's what you do. You do what the quarterback can do.
Okay.
You do what the, so, in other words, he can't do that. By the implication is he can't. And two things can be true. Michael Penix Jr. may have struggled at times, but Zach Robinson might not know what he was doing with a young quarterback.
Yep.
I mean, some of those plays, the play action that looked like you were going to time it with a sundial. Looked ridiculous. Michael Penix Jr., let's have a young guy with his back to his receivers for like an extended period of time. So things like that, you know, just didn't make a lot of sense. You know, Michael Penix Jr., I think, guys, it's not unfair to say they were good, bad, and ugly this season. Our third down completion rate was horrible. His percentage rate on, if you go back and look, the last game, ironically, before he got injured, that's the first time he's back over 65%. His completion percentage was dipping below 60, which is unacceptable in the NFL. So Penix Jr., he may be the guy. They may have drafted the wrong guy. But the worst thing for a young quarterback is now he's going to learn a new offense.
This is true. This is true. Unless it's a spinoff, the language will be different. But if you bring in somebody like a Kubiak.
Then it's Shanahan related. It's similar to McVay's offense.
It's very similar. We'll see. All right, one last question. Why are some looking down on the Falcons bringing in consulting firms, Mike? One question from our listener.
Yes, nobody likes consulting firms, but they are a reality. They are a fact of life, unfortunately. Now, you could argue, as we said, Carl and I go, well, let's see. If I was a GM, if I was looking for a GM, let's see. Who's working with the Eagles? Hire him. Who's working, you know, Carl, with the Ravens? They've been pretty good. One of those guys. And then it's not that. And a head coach, somebody who, as we said, there's two or three guys that right now, Clint Kubiak being the top of the list. You got to vet it. You got to follow the Rooney rules. You got to make sure these guys don't have any skeletons in their closet. They're not HR nightmares, all this stuff which you think you roll your eyes at. But that's part of the reason why they do this stuff. It's frustrating because you think as an NFL owner for 25 years, you as an owner would know who you should be talking to. But they're not doing it that way. And it's unfortunately the very corporate way of approaching the job. But other NFL teams do the same thing. We're not the only guys who use consultants. But it does drive me crazy. I understand why people are frustrated with it.
Yeah. I don't know if people are looking down at it. I just think people go, why can't the people in the building make the decision?
Right.
We explained yesterday, and this is how I will explain it again. They don't know all of the candidates that may be available or may be interested in the job. And what these firms allow them to do is sit back and have that information brought to them. From that standpoint alone, that's invaluable. So if I told you, hey, you got a big-time job opening and you want to bring in the best candidates from around the world, do you know all of them? Do you know everybody that would be interested that are qualified? You don't. So all of a sudden, around the NFL, it's not as if, you know, every franchise has guys in closets. Literally, that you may or may not know about, and that guy could be brilliant. And all of a sudden, he is elevated, Mike, and all of a sudden, you know, he becomes a candidate. Those are the people that they want to bring you and say, hey, this is somebody you might want to look at. Those are the Mike McDaniels of the world, who nobody knew a few years ago, and all of a sudden, how the hell does this guy get the Dolphins head coaching job? Regardless of what you think of him, that is why these consulting firms exist.
Look, guys hire their friends. Sometimes these things exist to keep guys from hiring their friends in some cases.
And that's right.
Other case, guy just hit me up on the text line earlier. He goes, well, you know, Matt doesn't know anything about the cap. They have capologists, sir. No, Matt is like, no, they're going to have Matt do a math test when he comes in for the interview, right? They're going to have to do algebra. No, they have guys. How do you think we just pulled off this move we made? Fontenot may have already had that in the works with the guys that do the bean counting. So we can try to extend or at least buy some time for the Kirk Cousins, whether he's gone or not. So, come on, guys, use your noggin. I do understand a lot of guys here on the text line say, why can't you just let Matt go? He comes in and let Matt find his guys and pick. There's still going to be a process. This is how they've done it. The Sportology guys were on. Now, by the way, how awkward was that for you, Terry Fontenot, knowing Sportology's over your shoulder the last few months? But that's the way it went down. Same thing for Terry and Raheem.
I think it is, but I also think if you're doing the job, you're not worried. I mean, they could bring in a consultant to sit over my shoulder any damn day of the week. I feel very comfortable, Mike, about what we're doing and where we're – the ratings show us as much, too. But,
But
it's,
I would say,
it's a moot point. It's a moot point.
It
now.
Is. But no, but I'm saying, like, if you're doing the job, you shouldn't feel uncomfortable if they're bringing in people to evaluate what you're doing.
The thing is, and this is what we were talking about earlier in the show and yesterday, Arthur's talking about they've looked at their process and it's broken, basically. It's what the open letter said. Mm-hmm. They've been doing things the wrong way. They've got to reapproach. So why do we have to add layer upon layer? There's a GM. There's a team president. I know Rich McKay's knocked out of the box, whether that's window dressing or not. Whether Rich ever did anything right or wrong, the perception amongst the fan base was he's the boogeyman. And so, I don't know, do you think Sportology got in Arthur's ear about that?
No.
And said, hey, one of the things we realize is the perception here is Rich has got to go.
I think...
did they say it's a byproduct of how you're dysfunctional?
No, I think they present a report and you evaluated how you evaluated. Here's what we learned about your organization. They're not there to tell you what to do. They're there to say, here's our evaluation. You take it as you want. Here's what we. Here's your folder.
Do you think Sportology told him to dump Rich McKay?
No, I do not.
Okay.
No. Mike, if that's in the folder where he goes, hey, here's this, and you might want to address that or however you need to address it, but here's the information we learned about it. I don't think that you can allow these consulting firms to come in and run your football team either. They are just there to advise and say, hey, here's what we learned about you guys. It's up to you whether you want to change it or not.
Right. And I know that when you haven't won the made a trip to the playoffs, had a winning season in 8 years, you're looking for any resource possible. So I get it. In our business, consultants are kind of like can be a boondoggle. But in this case, this is the path they've chosen. Not the only team that works this way. Other teams, other sports do it. So that's how we're going to get to this new regime here in Atlanta.
All right. That's answering your questions, guys. You can always question. Hit us up with questions on social media. If we don't have time during our Behind the Curtain show, we'll certainly try to address them like we did there. Let's play Steve Wyche in his comments before we get to some guy talk about why he believes this is the most attractive job that is available of the six. There's six open. But of the other five head coaching opportunities.
Okay, let's preface this with top candidates. But I'm going to say Atlanta just for the simple reason of the roster's in place. Terry Fontenot, the GM, got fired. He put talent on both sides of the ball. The intriguing part is the hierarchical structure, the hierarchy that Arthur Blank outlined in the lineup today. There's going to be a president of football operations. We're assuming that could be Matt Ryan, the former quarterback, coming in. And a general manager. So whoever's coming in to coach is only going to coach. They're not going to have a significant amount of power. But, Baldy, on the offensive side of the ball, you've got Bijan Robinson. Tyler Algier's a free agent. Kyle Pitts is a free agent. Tough decisions to make. But otherwise, you're pretty good across the offensive line of scrimmage, skill position. They've got to figure out what to do at quarterback. Is Michael Penix going to be healthy to start the season? Do you let Kirko Chains go? He's got all that money coming. If so, who do you come in to possibly back up Michael Penix, who can't stay healthy? So those are the issues. But when I look at the other openings right now, the Atlanta is the best one, Baldy, because it's also an immediately winnable division there in the NFC South.
Bingo. What Steve said. No, yeah. I mean, and that's why, you know, I'm not trying to pick a fight with D-Led. Stakes already started that. But thanks, Mike and Carl.
It's too late.
You know, D-Led kind of went scorched. I was like, now the two losing seasons coming. With all due respect to D, there's too much talent. Everything Steve just talked about is there. I know we do have this awkwardness with the quarterback, but, you know, either we're going to have a gap year guy. The good news is, you know, you can resuscitate what has not been working, right, for Michael Penix Jr.
True.
Or Kirk is here for one last year. But, I mean, but the other pieces, and we still have draft picks, guys. I know we don't have a first rounder, but we still have draft picks. And by this juggling with Kirk Cousins, we've created some cap space. Should you want to address some other things through free agency?
Yeah, that's going to be a big question. I mean, I'm curious to see. And, again, we know this, guys. There'll be additional cuts. Look, the Cousins thing helps us. Onyemata, you let him go, Mike, you save $8 million. There's room to be had when you start talking about saving potential money. And I've said this, you know, we need to get younger and more athletic, I think, on that defensive line. You've seen on the edge how that looks.
Right.
I think in the middle, you know, we do have some guys, but like the Dorless thing scared the hell out of us. But man, I think we got a player in Dorless.
Again, it was hammy. We thought it was knee, but it was hammy. So you got a great young nucleus. I mean, we've talked about maybe some of the best, you could argue with the best safety tandem right now, young safeties. You know, you talked about the edge rushers, maybe a little more beef alongside with Onyemata and Ruka Ro. Onyemata's gone, I would imagine. Ruka Ro.
All right, man. What do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man. Haven't done this in a while. A Florida Man story.
Uh-oh.
By the way, you've been watching that on HBO? Have you seen those?
No. Is it good? HBO have Max? You seen it? What is it?
They take some big-name actors, big-name comedians have been involved in these Florida
Man
stories.
Drunk History. They do like Richard Drunk History.
It's exactly like Drunk History.
Oh,
it's
okay.
That's a good Comedy Central.
Okay.
It's exactly like that. Got a Florida Man story you want to hear? And are we getting good old-fashioned bad Trae Young again? Stay tuned.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
Homes.com is the only place where you can find specialized neighborhood guides with the in-depth insider info home shoppers want. Very in-depth info. Want to know if there's homes for sale in the area? We've got it. How long has a home been on the market? We'll know it. Average lot size? Uh-huh. Proximity to local parks? Of course. Insight into your neighbor's divorce? We're working on it. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, man, should you throw away that Kirk Cousins jury?
Jersey? Whoa!
Find out at 5:20. Joel Corey will find out just what to make of the latest. Yeah. I like Kirk, man. You know, just, you know, disappointed in some of the things that were said. But we had a good conversation with Kirk, and maybe we'll have another one. I hear you, brother. But we'll see if he will be.
You know what he said, real quick, and I know we got a lot of stuff to get to because I want to hear about this Florida man. But you know what he said to us, Mike, when he was like, I didn't feel like I needed to spend every waking second to defend myself when all of that went down. And I understood it. I didn't like it, but I understood it. But that was kind of his excuse to say, look, I could have easily called into you guys, because he listens. I could have easily went on other shows and, you know, around the country and said, hey, here's where I'm at. And this is why I'm standing on this. But what good does that do?
Right.
He finally got another chance to play. And guess what? We won games with him. So, I mean, ultimately,
stabilized the offense.
He really did.
I mean, you want to say glorified game manager? I think it's a little bit more than that. I mean, like, Mooney was very inconsistent down the stretch. We know that Drake London wasn't even close to 100%. He was injured much of the year.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pitts flourishes when Cousins is out there. You know, Pitts got more involved. That's one thing that Kirk does get happening. You can't argue with that. So, again, if you're just tuning in, the Falcons do a major restructure. It takes his salary down to next to nothing. And some people feel this just means he's going to be gone. Either it's a March 13th or it's going to be a June 6th designation and he's completely off the books. And other folks, including Mike Garofalo from NFL Network, say no. There's still a chance he will be back, and there's flexibility. The Falcons have bought themselves some wiggle room.
Yeah, I think he's going to. That's just where I'm at. I mean, if they don't, then I just want to see what the plan is.
Right.
That's all. But I feel like this is – I'm on the opposite side of where a lot of people think this is. And by the way, he didn't have to do it. He didn't.
No, he could have said pound sand. You guys work it out. I'm over here.
Yep.
So we'll see. Maybe that's an intent. And again, guys are asking, how can you do this without a gym? They still have people in the office, okay? It's not the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney where they fire everybody and there's like people and cubicles are falling apart and there's nobody in the office. They still have people that do the bean counting and the business of the NFL. All right. Speaking of money. Brandon Sorsby, I said to Carl yesterday, it's no longer, you know, Texas was kind of the guys in the black hat for the folks who thought everything was wrong with NIL and college football. But now it's those dudes down the street or up the street in Lubbock at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Because the Red Raiders signing this Brandon Sorsby kid, and they're saying it could be as much as $5 million. And then guess what?
What?
There's another school that says, hold my beer. Oklahoma State apparently has an anonymous donor who's stepping up to the plate to steal the Green Machines quarterback from North Texas.
Okay.
The guy's name is Drew Mestemaker, and he had a bunch of touchdowns this year. I rode him to victory with a couple of big overs last season, this year. He's expected to make a salary of $3.5 million altogether in 2 years, could make $7 million.
Oh.
That just dropped at brobible.com. Go ahead, Orin.
Crazy about that kid. He didn't play quarterback until, like, this season. He was on a quarterback in high school, walked on to North Texas as a quarterback, tried it as a quarterback. But, yeah, he hadn't played quarterback since, like, his freshman year of high school. Positions in high school.
34 touchdowns, 4,300 yards this year for those guys. And, again, now is a chance to perhaps get paid the highest amount of money. At least, who can even keep tabs on it now at this point through NIL? It's from Oklahoma State. And by the way, Mike Gundy had about $7 million to spend the last 3 years combined, it looks like.
I'm a man. I find it interesting. His old coach is there as part of this deal, I guess. And I'll say, Mike, this is the bidding war that schools are finding themselves in. Who says no? Like, these quarterbacks, they really are in the driver's seat when the portal opens and these schools are in need. I mean, it's crazy. Like, now I can go, well, you know what? Like, we talked about Lane Kiffin. He didn't land any of the guys he thought he was going to land last weekend.
Right. And all of a sudden now, if you're LSU, man, I mean, yes, it's easy to root against Lane Kiffin, but the whole world will be rooting against Lane Kiffin. The memes the other day, the memes that were out there where he's taken over, he's accepted the role as president of Venezuela, I thought that was pretty funny. They got him standing in front of the flag with the sash on and the whole deal. Anyway, I got a couple of Los Angeles stories for you. News right now making the rounds, and Barstool has this story, that Tom Brady might be sending a giant blank U to the NFL if he can get his man in as new head coach of the Raiders. His old buddy, guy that spent 10 years on the coaching staff in New England, Brian Flores, who's got a lawsuit that's still going on, and the NFL has done everything in their power to try to get this thing squashed, and it's not worked.
He's a really good coach, man.
Again, Brian Flores, he would get everyone says he deserves a second chance.
Well, remember, Miami, right, how that went down.
He basically said that Russ told him to lose games, and Russ goes, nah, I was just kidding.
Yeah, he didn't want to do that. Then he gets basically ostracized from the league, and Mike Tomlin goes, no, I got you.
Right.
Gets another shot and then becomes a DC, and Mike has done a hell of a job for Minnesota.
And he's the guy, I love his aggressiveness. I mean, I love the fact, and that's the kind of coach, look, when you don't have all the pieces on defense, be aggressive, man. Let's roll. Let's get after the QB. So anyway, they're predicting that Tom Brady.
You think he's going to get that job?
Well, I mean, Mark Davis will do what Tom tells him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, what's he going to say? I got to go get my hair cut with a bowl. All down the street at Tropicana, not the field, but the old hotel where the A's are supposed to be playing. Have you heard this story? The A's can't get the right to be the Las Vegas A's. They put it in to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. They've been denied. The reasoning is the geographically descriptive, meaning they describe a location, Las Vegas, with the generic term athletics. So the USPTO requires more distinctiveness for geographically descriptive marks. Maybe creating a hurdle, they won't get to be the Vegas A's. Because, in other words, there'll be gyms and there'll be other training, there'll be other entities in Las Vegas that use athletics in their name. Like the Las Vegas Athletic Club,
for instance. Well, yeah, but didn't they think this through before they
didn't think anything through about Las Vegas? They've alienated the lawmakers. This thing is dragging. Remember they had the breaking grounds? They rented, they literally rented construction equipment for the groundbreaking, and they took it all back.
Yep.
I mean, the A's owner will basically screw up winning the lottery.
And he has. Moving to Las Vegas is winning the lottery.
Speaking of the lottery, the guy that or lady, we don't know because it's anonymous, who won the lottery ticket down in Noonan, the one that was that big billion-dollar ticket.
Yeah.
The Georgia resident won the Mega Millions jackpot. He took the cash option, $453.6 million.
Okay.
It's somewhere in Noonan. It's the new, if you live by me, it's the new Publix. If you live in Noonan, it's the new Publix that they built, and somebody went in there and got it. But they're anonymous, so nobody knows. I guess if you see somebody, Carl, on 85 with a solid gold bass boat, you'll know that that's the guy that won the lottery ticket down in Noonan. So we'll see where that one goes. All right, man. We were talking a lot about this today. Falcons are ruling the roost because it's the big story. Who's going to be the head coach? GM. Is Matt Ryan going to take the job? When's that going to go down? The other big story is Trey. A lot of folks, and this has been a true lightning rod on our social media today, because people in this town, and Daddy, I'll say it. They either love Trey or they hate Trey. They either buy in or they don't. And a lot of people feel that Trey's sulking, and now they're intimating they think that Trey should be playing. If he can dribble a basketball, he can get out on the floor. Why isn't he playing? And I think you and I kind of touched on this earlier. Do you think now that Trey is ever going to play a game for the Hawks until he gets traded?
No.
Day-Day?
That's a
answer
tough
the
one.
Question.
No.
Oren?
Believe me.
Day-Day is Mr. He's Mr. Glass Half Full. Oren, your thoughts?
I think he's done. That's it.
That's
no
it.
No mas.
So there you go. And now it's
state your source.
Well,
I'm the source, Trey.
And now it's just a matter, as Carl says, everybody gets into that ESPN like trading machine.
Yeah,
numbers do have to match up. But then
would you, if you were Trey, would you
no, sit
I
out?
Mean, you think you're well
as far as what suit play again? Right.
Yes,
two ways of looking at it. I mean, prove them wrong by getting out there and showing this thing can work. But I guess that's not going to happen. I thought he felt that Quinn Snyder was the guy that's going to make him better.
Yeah, but you're right. But when you've already asked for the team to cooperate,
yeah, your agent's already got you out the door.
What if they have like a 240 point game? Does that make anything different?
Yeah, right.
Like just some complete outlier, like the highest scoring game in NBA history.
No,
does that change anything?
It's
at
a
that
great
point?
It's a great point, Bar. It's just another chapter in because you ask six people about Trey, you'll get like probably three on one side, three on the other.
Yeah, you will.
And as we said, and I brought this up with Carl, we've talked about this on our pre-show behind the curtain. Two things can be true. Trey is one of the best players to ever put on a Hawks jersey. But unfortunately, the team never really took care of him in the sense that they never built the team around him like they should. DeJounte Murray was a fiasco. They never built on the success of 21. Wrestler never even sniffed any form of a luxury tax. You went to the Eastern Conference Finals and went backwards.
Yep.
That's not Trey's fault.
A sprained ankle away probably from playing the Suns that year in the finals.
Yeah, right? And you know what? You just triggered another thing, Mike.
You're triggered?
Because we didn't have time for me to do
testify.
This, so what's on my mind.
Testify.
So some of the responses today in our Behind the Curtain were, we're a bunch of Trey haters and we're a bunch of non-Atlanta people. Yeah,
that
talking Atlanta sports.
Yeah, whatever.
I just want to say this. Saying that it's time for Trey and the Hawks to potentially agree to separate does not mean we're hating on Trey Young. And someone tried to say, well, they never got the help. They never built around him. We said that. If you watch and listen, we said they never provided him with the proper team around him to really make him what he should be. So don't say we're haters. We're just saying that everything runs its course, and maybe that is this situation.
Oh, man. Day-Day, do you listen to do you hear our intro at 2 o'clock? When I say, you're not listening. Okay? There's a reason for that. Because of what you just said, half of the people who listen don't listen to what is being said when we lay it out. No one – has Mike had his issues with Trey? Yes. Have I? There was a time – I want to take you guys back about 2 years – where people were literally trying to boycott our show because Trey Young was going to – he was going to get Dukes and Bell fired.
Could you tell me why in God's
name being real
you
with
called
you
his
guys.
Mother a garden tool?
Okay, but no one on the opposite side of that – have we been critical of him? Yes, because we were. That's when that whole fiasco happened. But no one also has defended Trey more, to Mike's point about getting him help. Mm-hmm. Me saying, hey, you guys don't understand what we've got in this dude. So with all of that said,
we want this to fail. We don't want this to fail.
We don't.
But that's the thing. Hey, Carl touched that. I had a guy today going, you ran Julio. I ran Julio out of town. Julio demanded a raise this 2.5 years after he signed and became the highest paid wide receiver. Two things can be true. Julio is one of the greatest Falcons to ever dress out, a sure first ballot Hall of Famer, but a guy that is an enigma in this town. I mean, it doesn't make him a bad person. People want to do media. They don't. Not in my bag. I just like to, loved Julio's game. I had a freaking Julio jersey for crying out loud. But I'm just saying, at the end of the day, he had nothing left. He wanted money. It hurt the team. He went and did nothing elsewhere. So if that makes me a hater, I know I'm a realist. I don't root for certain individuals. Generally, I'm rooting for the logo on the side of the helmet or the top, the front of the jersey. But in the case of these guys, I call them fanboys. You get too close to it. I thought Trey was immature. Everybody's immature in the NBA to start their career.
Well, we were both upset.
He grew up.
We were upset.
I didn't like when he didn't. Nate gets fired. That's doesn't even reach out to him.
That's correct. We killed him on that. You're the star, and you don't even address it.
Well, there was the other time too, after the Miami series, and instead of flying back with the team, he took his own private jet back home.
Yes,
like, right. Stuff like that.
Yes. And I had a guy today, he's like, you're down on Acuna. No, I just don't want Acuna playing baseball in Venezuela, coming off of two knee injuries. You know, I said that, and I'll die on that hill, Carl. I love it that he's got a love for the game and a genuine passion, but I got a guy that's this close to being Mike Trout. I don't want to put an extra wear and tear on his body.
Mm.
That's not hating on him, okay? But that's how this, as Carl says, we say it, whoop, goes in the mic, comes out of the speaker, and you guys think we're hating on people. Because you guys are like family. What are you wearing, Julio Underoos? What the hell, man?
Yeah.
And if you do, where do you find him?
Exactly. I want some. I would love for us to be talking about how damn good our Hawks team is, how we're in first or second or third place, how we're going to compete. But until you hear this music on this show,
right,
we're not trying to run you out of town.
Correct.
But when you do hear this, we're trying to get your ass up out of here. Okay?
All right. Real quick, I teased a Florida man story. I can make this quick. Matthew Zaccarino, Carl, 39-year-old.
All right.
Arrested, sitting alone in a vehicle. A deputy's out of Polk County. That's between Orlando and Tampa. See this guy at a construction site after hours. What's going on? Well, they approach him. They find the man wearing a red lace bra, and he's got prosthetic breasts. In other words, he's got fake boobs under his panties and his thing. They get him out of the car. They notice he's wearing a G-string.
What?
They pat him down. The man had a weapon underneath his fake boobs.
What is going on?
Florida Man.
Dude, Orin, is this not setting up perfectly for HBO's Florida Man?
I'll tell you what episode that I watched. It was a guy who wanted tickets to a Bass Nectar show. So he put a listing in Craigslist trying to get money for this. And people were like offering him all kind of crazy services. A guy said, hey, if you come over and cut three of my toes off, cook them and eat them, I'll give you money for this show.
What?
Yes. Yes. So he goes over, he gets in the mindset, brings a friend who's like an Orlando Magic dancer, brings a friend over there just in case. But he's like, I got to get this mindset, man. Like, for a while, like, I thought it was an actual murderer. He was going to go over to this guy's house.
Cut his toes?
Cut three of his toes off.
Yes.
This is the guy he had a fantasy. He wanted his toes cut off, and he wanted to watch this guy eat them. Turns out the guy, he chickened that at the end. He just gave him the money for the show. And
I would hope. Out.
But yeah, he told him like, hey, yeah, here's cut three of my toes off. Here's money. You do this.
If you hadn't seen it, if they take all these wacky stories. I usually have a Florida Man story once or twice a month. Yeah, this guy, they find him in drag, and he's got a weapon under his fake boobs. And they go, where are you going? He goes, I'm going to a costume party. Well, where is it? I don't know. And he's at a construction site. Anyway, loitering, prowling, resisting an officer without violence. That's what he got charged with. There's a lot of great cameos in Florida Man. You'll recognize the actors. It's like a who's who, and it's very funny. Produced by Danny McBride's people. It's worth checking out. It's funny. 30 minutes. Put your brain in neutral.
Right. Yeah, no, I was going to say. It's mindless.
Yes.
It's mindless.
And it's all basically goobers in Florida and all the dumb stuff they do.
I like the word goober, by the way. Hey, man.
Fun word.
It is a fun word. Coming up. More firings around the NFL. One team getting rid of their OC, another with their DC. But what are we doing with our HC and our GM? You follow?
Yeah.
It's Dukes and Bell.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit NationalDebtRelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
At Homes.com, we do whatever it takes to get you the in-depth info on local schools you won't find anywhere else. Things like student-teacher ratio, test scores, and school programs. And sometimes that requires attending school recitals. So many recitals.
That's my son. Isn't he terrific?
Yeah, a real prodigy. Homes.com. Bingo. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every Friday from 6 to 7:30, it's NBA Happy Hour on FanDuel, your pregame for the weekend. We're talking limited-time specials you won't want to miss. Boosts, bonuses, surprises, all dropping in the app during Happy Hour. So before tip-off, check the FanDuel app to see the week's special. Then make your move before the shot clock expires at 7:30 Eastern. It's the perfect way to start your weekend. A little basketball, a little action, and a whole lot of Friday energy. That's NBA Happy Hour, every Friday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern, only on FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.